Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises out. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Now it's so sweet, it floods my soul. Hope eternal, oh, won't let go. My very race at Calvary. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Well, there's a home beyond the sky. A song will sing for all of time. The grave is empty, I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Forever of your love, come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love, come down. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, my life was wrecked by sin and strife, this could fill my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken streams, stirred his hungry chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Then let's go back to this verse, turn to your neighbor and say, good to see you today.
Was the blood.
morning. I tell you, we've kind of got some vacancies here this morning. Probably some people already traveling, maybe perhaps for Thanksgiving. But we do also have some guests, and so we're proud of that and thankful that you're here this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, and one of our ushers is going to come by, and they don't want to interrupt anything, just want to hand you a visitor's packet, and we're just asking that you take that packet with you. It's got our business card in it. It's got the number to my cell number, number to the church. If we can help you or be a blessing to you in any way, please let us know. Otherwise, just fill out the card that's in that offering packet and visitor's packet, and just drop it in the plate on your way out, and we appreciate you being here with us. It's Thanksgiving season. We got a lot to be thankful for, guys, and we're going to talk about that a little bit during our worship hour, but right now, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let me just real quick do a quick commercial. As I said last week, at the end of the service, we're going to actually, we'll have the plates at the back and some men back there. We're going to take up an offering for the Children's Home of Lubbock, okay? So the whole offering today will go towards them, with the exception, obviously, if you put your tithes in, they'll be marked on the envelope. But other than that, anything else that comes in, you know, the Bible tells us in James 1:27 to care for the fatherless, and we have an opportunity that we can be a blessing to these folks. If they're willing to give a home to these children, then we ought to be willing to help out during this Christmas holiday and put a smile on the face of those children. And so I hope that you'll be a part of that, larger or small. Whatever you can contribute will be a blessing, I'm sure. Okay, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Terry Sackett if he'll lead us in prayer.
Amen. Take my seat.
But all three men were startled with amazement.
time we'll have a video.
So what are you thankful for? You'd think that'd be an easy question to answer. Yet, how often does the speed of life blind us? How often are the blessings we experience blurred by the chaos we walk in? While we're busy trying to keep up, do we fail to recognize all that we have to be grateful for? Of course we do. We're all guilty of it. Life has a way of chiseling away at a heart of gratitude. What if we could stop, pause in the moment, take a breath, take a beat, and recognize the incredible work of God which surrounds us? What if the intensity of the day-to-day could be stilled by the peace of thanksgiving? What if we could practice the words of Scripture and give thanks in everything? Perhaps these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Maybe if we look hard enough, we can see past everything life throws at us and see the beauty of a life spent giving thanks. So, what are you thankful for?
This week I bought a book entitled A Million Little Miracles. If you like to read, it'd really be a good book, but it talks about all of the miracles that we experience around us every single day without even thinking about it. God's been good to us, hasn't he? When you go, that's a blessing of the Lord. In a few moments you're going to go home and you're going to be able to decide whatever it is you want to eat. That's a blessing of the Lord, because there's people all around this world that won't have anything to eat today. If you've got change in your pocket, you're part of the top 1% of the richest people in the entire world today. God's been good to us. We're going to sing a song that we've sung before, but it's become a very popular song over the years. It's called The Goodness of God, and we invite you to sing with us if you'd like to. But as we sing this,
your mercy never fails me. No, my days I've been nailed in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
have a word of prayer together. Father, we're so thankful, God, for your goodness to us. Lord, we could be all day just sitting in prayer and identifying things in our life that you have given us and blessed us with and giving thanks for those things. Lord, it's a great privilege to be able to even just simply call upon your name, knowing that you regard us as your children through your Son, Jesus Christ. Just to think of Jesus and what he did for us, your only Son, to die upon the cross for our sins and shed his blood that our sins could be forgiven us. Your Holy Spirit and his ministry in our lives. Holy Spirit, we know that you're here this morning and you live within the hearts of every believer. And we know, Holy Spirit, that you're doing a work. Already we've seen some things this morning where you're working ahead of time. We thank you for the Word of God. We're privileged, Lord, in our country to be able to carry our Bibles with us anywhere we go. We can read them anytime we want. And Father, we can gather and assemble here in a church, and we thank you for the church. We can gather here every Sunday, Wednesday, whenever we want to. Lord, we could have services every day of the week, and we have the freedom to do that in our nation, and we thank you for that. God bless your people this morning. We know that there are many people gone, and some are traveling, perhaps some are sick. But Lord, for this group that's gathered here in your house, we've come, Lord, to worship you. Lord, we'll give our attention and our hearts and minds over to you, Lord, and your word. And I ask, Father, that you'll deal with us and teach us. We ask your blessings on the children in the back. We ask your blessings, Lord, over this offering that we'll be able to take up in just a little bit for the Children's Home of Lubbock. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless that. And we pray that, Lord, with every cent that's given, Lord, will also come blessings to those children's lives. We thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. Lord, time won't allow more prayer, but as we go into your word and we learn together, we pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, with Thanksgiving holiday in mind, I discussed with you last week the importance of not just giving thanks to God in our prayers, but also living a life that expresses gratitude to God. And we talked about that in depth last week. Words can be very empty if they're not supported by actions. Nothing will express to God how grateful we are like taking what he has given us and what he's put into our hands and handling it well, putting it to work for his glory. It's called stewardship. Stewardship, as we learned last week, or a steward is a manager, a caretaker. A steward, from a biblical standpoint, is a person where the owner identifies that steward and leaves his goods in the hands of that caretaker, trusting that he will manage it well, trusting that he'll take good care of it. And as we learned last week, the first step to being a good steward of what God has given us is having the right perspective. How we see things will greatly impact how we handle those same things. So we've got to look at it like it is. And as the Bible tells us, is God owns it all. The scripture tells us, King David, in fact, I gave you the scripture last week. It says, "For all that is in heaven and earth is thine." God owns it all, folks. Every bit of it. We might think we own some, but in the reality of it, it's just placed in our care. He owns it all. So he can distribute it according to his will. He can give him to who he wants, how much he wants, for as long as he wants. That's his prerogative. He's the owner. So to not understand that and not have that perspective would cause us to misuse what he's put in our hands. Now, how do you see things in your life? Do you see it that way, that, hey, this is God's, he's put it into my care? Your time, your talent, your money, your possessions, your influence, your gifts, your abilities, your opportunities. How do you see that? Do you think they're your own? That you can do with it as you please? Well, you're wrong, because it's not. God has entrusted you with every bit of it, and so has he those things that I have, and he expects us to see it that way. Secondly, last week, we learned that God wants us to handle our stewardship with purpose. Some people are blessed with talent. Others have influence, some have money, some people are blessed with more time, others more opportunity, whatever, the list could go on and on, and some people are blessed with it all. I'm not one of those people. In fact, I'm having to regularly tell myself, you got good looks, what else do you want? But seriously, we may be heavy in certain blessings and a little lighter in other blessings, but they are blessings. And whatever God has given us needs to be given a purpose to be used for His glory. You gave purpose to your time this morning by devoting it to being in God's house for worship. You chose to give purpose to this 2 hours of time, or however long it is, to be in the house of God. Some of you will give purpose to your money if we take up the offering for the children's home at the end of the service. You said, this is what I want the money God's put into my care to be doing. Others have invited someone to church this week. I know many of you are doing so. Don't give up. If they didn't show up, I deal with it all the time. You just keep inviting. They'll show, okay? Just that God will bless your efforts. But some have invited people to church this morning, and they have put purpose to their influence. They knew this person. They had influence over this person, so they put purpose to that, and they invited them to church. So you get the picture. We have to have proper perspective. God owns it all. We have to learn to give purpose to what He's given us. And thirdly, this morning, if we want to express thankfulness to God with our lives, then we have to commit our lives to faithfulness. Nothing gives more evidence of our loyalty to Christ Jesus than being committed. Committed. Many, many decades ago, a group of Christians were planning to smuggle Bibles into China. They had 1 million Bibles prepared to go into China. Concerned about whether the Christians in China would be prepared to do their part in receiving the Bibles and distributing them, they decided they'd send one of their team members ahead to inquire of the situation. Upon arrival, the team member quizzed 5 leaders of the underground churches in China. The first question he asked is, do you know how much space 1 million Bibles will take up? They said, absolutely, we already have the space prepared. Then he asked them, do you know what could happen if you were caught with even a portion of these Bibles? Their response was, all 5 of us have been in prison for the Lord before. Altogether, we have spent a total of 72 years in jail for Jesus. We are willing to die if that's what it means, that in order that 1 million of our brothers and sisters can have a copy of God's Word. With that response, the inquiring team member tearfully put his list of questions away without any doubt that they were committed to do what they needed to do on their end. You can be sure of this. God is committed to you. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was on the night of his arrest and he was agonizing over the events that lie ahead for him, he never once lost sight of his love for mankind. He never once lost his commitment to provide redemption for all who would put their faith in him. One of my favorite hymns is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, it says. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. And then the chorus goes on to say, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You see, that wonderful hymn sums up God's commitment to us. But we have to ask ourselves the question, what lyrics would sum up our commitment to the Lord? What lyrics would sum up our commitment to His work? Would it be, weak is Thy faithfulness? Each Sunday morning, there's no telling where we'll be. Constantly changing, our fickleness fails not. So uncommitted we forever will be. It shouldn't be so, folks. That's not the way to live for God. The way to live for God is to give thanks to Him, and by demonstrating to Him how much we appreciate what He's done for us, we are committed to do and carry out His work. God is always committed to us. He's never vacillating. And we, like the underground church leaders in China, should be committed on our end, ready and prepared to do our part. As soldiers of the mighty army of God, we have to be enlisted, not drafted, but enlisted. Our efforts to advance the kingdom of God should be something that we signed up for, that we're ready to do voluntarily, not something that we are forced to do. So we're in our Bibles in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, and I just have one simple verse. It's found in verse 2, and it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." As we talked about last week, in ancient times it was common for a landowner to recruit a steward that would manage his estate. While he was away, that steward would take responsibility for all the assets of the owner. They would be placed in his care, and the owner would be looking for a steward who would be committed to carrying that out. Someone that would be responsible no matter how difficult or how challenging the task would be. Again, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Required simply means that he was looking for a guy that it must be a faithful guy. It has to be. It's necessary. Nothing else will work. Must be found faithful. Faithful in what sense, you may ask? In a sense that steward will carry out his duties well, that he can be relied upon, that he can be trusted, that he can be consistent in things he's done. But I want you to notice what it says. It says he must be found that way. The idea of that word is that it's discovered upon examination or scrutiny. You know as well as I do, talk is cheap. God knows that more than any of us. Any person can say that they will do this or they'll do that or the other, but only a faithful, committed person will actually do it. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find it?" You know what it's saying there? It's saying any and everybody can say all the things that they can do and will do and have done and everything else. But then it says, a faithful man, who can find it? He says it's a rare thing for somebody that actually does it. Never before have Americans been more inconsistent than they are right now. People will promise you to do something. If you're in the public, deal with the public in any way, form, or fashion, you know this to be true. People will look you dead in the eye and say, "I will pay you my next check," or "I will be there at such and such time," or "I will take care of this and I will take care of that." And when it's all said and done, they didn't do any of it. Happens all the time to me. Not necessarily through the church. I don't mean that. My other things that I do. You see, when that happens, we found out that they failed us. We didn't know it when they gave us the word. It remained to be seen. But we found out when they failed to fulfill it. You see, it's easy for a Christian, for us to get ourselves in a crisis situation and be desperate for God's help. And then we begin to make verbal commitments to Him. "Oh God, I'm going to be faithful to church, and God, I'm going to start giving, and I'm going to be reading my Bible, and I'm going to be praying, and God, I'm going to turn loose of certain vices in my life. I'm going to give this up and that up, and I'm going to quit this and this sort of thing." And only to do it briefly and then go back to our uncommitted ways. You see, we weren't found faithful. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. God owns it all. He has put a great deal of it into your care and into my care, into our hands, our time, money, possessions, influence, all of these various things. And he has been faithful to us and to giving us whatever portions we have. And he wants to find us faithful. He wants to discover. He wants to see evidence that we're committed to being good stewards of those things. A verbal commitment through prayer is great. It's a great thing to pray to God and tell him, hey, God, I want to serve you and I want to worship you. But it must be followed up on. It should be found in our everyday life consistently. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of an ancient landowner. Say he has identified a steward. He's put him in charge of his estate. His land, his resources, all of it are in the care of this steward. What if that steward fails to show up on time? What if that steward maybe doesn't even show up at all on certain days? What if the landowner discovers that his crops are not being cared for? What if he found that his other possessions are in a state of neglect? I wonder what he would do. Well, first of all, he's going to be very frustrated. Do you think God ever gets frustrated with us? I'm quite sure he does. But it's very likely that the landowner, in his frustration, will be led to have to make some very difficult decisions, some necessary decisions, but difficult. Mainly that of taking those resources out of the hands of that steward and placing them in the hands of a faithful steward. Some people wonder why others have more than them. Some people wonder why things go better for others than themselves. Sometimes the fact is we can't handle what God's given us well and live thankfully by putting purpose, giving purpose to those things. And God, I believe with all my heart, has to extract it from our hands and put it in the hands of somebody that'll do better for him and for his glory. I love people. I invest in people. I believe in investing in people, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. So I love people, but I got to be honest with you. As a student of life, I found, if you will, that some people, actually most people, are where they are in life because of how they are, for good or for bad. You show me a young couple that will do what they say, a young couple that will be counted on. You see them consistently coming in the doors of the church, consistently doing the things they said they would do. They're taking care of their family. They're taking care of their business. And you show me a couple like that, and I'll show you a couple whose bills will be paid, who have had jobs for long periods of time, who have harmonious lives and marriage and families, who have the hand of blessing upon them. You know what the Bible says in Luke 16 and verse 10? He says, they are committed to be faithful even in the small things. So God knows he can entrust them with more. That's a paraphrase. Now here's what it says. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So what's God saying? I see that they took the little that they had and put it to work for me, gave it purpose, so I'm going to give them more. You've seen those families. You've seen those individuals. On the other hand, we can encounter people who never follow up on what they say. They're just hit and miss on the things of God, mostly miss. They cannot be depended upon by anyone. And a closer look at their life will tell that they have had every job under the sun. They move every time the rent's due. They're in debt up to here. And they make an excuse for where they are in life. Oh, we run into some bad luck. No, 9 out of 10 times we made our luck. And then we scratch our heads and we wonder why we can't catch a break. The Bible goes on in Luke 16 and says this, he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. In other words, God saw that we wouldn't take care of it. We weren't good stewards of it. So he removed it from us. God sees if you and I are faithful in the little things. And he evaluates that. When he's found that we are faithful, then he will put more into our care. But it works the other way as well, vice versa. You know, people are observant of these things as well. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You know what that's saying? It's saying don't waste your time thinking that an unfaithful person is going to be any help to you. You'll just end up in pain. It's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I've had both. There's pain. Does that mean we don't love people? No, that doesn't mean that. But people are where they are because how they are. I've learned as a pastor that I have to overlook the undesirables in people and just minister to them out of love in spite of those things because that's what we are to do. But my job, friends, behind this pulpit is to give you truths whether they are sweet and tasty or not. If you find yourself at a place in life where everything from your finances to your fitness is in shambles, well, you can be sure of this. That's not the result of God's unfaithfulness at all. It's usually a failure in our own stewardship. I can tell you this with confidence. If you want to experience a turnaround of a lifetime, if you want to rebound like you've never rebounded before, then if we are where we are because of who we are or how we are, we can change how we are. We can do an about face by making a commitment to the Lord, not just a verbal commitment to the Lord, but making a commitment to the Lord and carrying that out, fulfilling it, following through. Remember, he owns it all. It's his. And when he sees us make that commitment and we begin to follow through, even in the little things, mostly in the little things, that's certainly where it has to start, then God as the owner suddenly is pleased with what he sees. He's happy. There's a smile on his face as the owner. And with that, he will begin to increase our goods and the things he places in our care. Isn't that what our problem is a lot of times? We're short on things, short on time, short on money, short on opportunity, short on all these things. Well, God can change that anytime he wants. He can multiply those things. He can take those things from the hands of someone that's not taking care of their business and put them in the hands of you who are taking care of their business, who is taking care of it. Either one. But it'll be done according to his pleasure in what he saw in our stewardship. The parable of the talents is found over in Matthew 25, and it teaches this truth very well. It begins with these words. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods." Now, you know what it's saying there? This is how God works. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is as, and he goes on, he's just simply saying, here's how the things of God work. And he goes on to describe the very thing that we're talking about, and that stewardship. What did the man in the parable do? Well, he was going into a far country, so he gathered up some of his servants, and he gave one of them 10 talents. Says, I want you to take good care of things. He gave another one 2 talents. You go take care of things. Another one came along. Maybe this was a young guy, just getting started, didn't know much how well he was going to do. He gave him 1 talent. Says, you go to take care of things. Well, what happened in the parable, if you were to read on, the one with 10 talents was responsible. He took those 10 talents and gave them purpose. He put them to work for his owner, and by doing so, he increased it quite a bit. The second one that had been given 2 talents, he did the same thing. He was faithful. He had less than the other guy, but he had what he had, he put to work, and for good purpose. But that one guy that was only given one talent, it wasn't much, but it was a start. But he did nothing with it. He just sat on it. He gave it no purpose. He didn't find something to do with it for the good of the owner. He was not faithful in the little. You want to see what happened? Verse 28 tells us in Matthew 25, the owner came back and he said, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that had the 10 talents. Take it from this guy here that refused to take care of his business and be a good steward, and just give it to the other guy that I know is a good steward, who I've found to be faithful. And then he goes on in verse 29, he says, for everyone that hath shall be given. In other words, you got an abundance, you're taking care of the abundance, he's going to give you more. And he shall have more abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. He says, you got little things and you won't even take care of them. So I'm going to be forced to take those out of your care. If God has found that our stewardship has been productive, and folks, let me remind you, we always go to money when we talk about stewardship. And money is a very big part of our life, and it's a tool, it's a means to an end. It's a very big part of our life, but it goes so far beyond money. We talked about last week our time. And by the way, two of our men contacted me and stepped up. They're going to drive Meals on Wheels. A couple of men that said, I'm going to give purpose to the time that God has given me. The talent, I think just here in a few minutes, Logan's going to get up there and share his talent. Playing the horn. What kind of horn is it? Trumpet. Okay, they're all brass is all I know. He's going to play his trumpet. He's given purpose to his talent. What he's learned at the schoolhouse and the band, he's going to bring to the house of God and play. Abilities, gifts, opportunities, influence. All of those things are part of our stewardship. And I'm sure many more that I haven't mentioned. Why don't you make a commitment today in prayer? Remember, prayer is important, and we can tell God anything we want. But once we've done that, nothing speaks to his heart more than getting up off our knees and walking out those doors and putting action to those words. So why don't you make a commitment today and say, God, this Thanksgiving is a turnaround for me. I'm going to show you that I'm thankful. You're going to find, God, that I'm thankful. How are you going to do that? Because, God, I am going to take what you put in my care, every red cent, every minute, every possession, every whatever, and I'm going to give it some purpose. I'm going to ask you guys to stand. Let me recap real quick. Proper perspective. God owns it all. Give purpose to what he's given you. And thirdly, commit yourself to being faithful. Maybe you're here and you're already doing that. And I can tell you, probably we probably see that already, how blessed your life is. But if you're here and you're saying, hey, I'm just failing in this area, then why don't you fall on your face before God this morning and make that commitment? Heads are bowed and eyes are going to be closed. God's spoken to your heart. You come.